But praise God. If you have your Bibles with you today, open up to Book of Judges, chapter 6. We're going to start there. Last night I did service. Pastor Eddie was feeling a little under the weather yesterday, so I did the service last night, and we had a crowd. I'll tell you, the place was packed out. We had, one, two, three, four people. Five, including me. But we had a great service, right? Amen. Joe was there, and Elaine, I saw her before. So, yeah, I know, there she is. So we had a great service, and I said, this is the first time I ever had a pre-run at my message. So my wife got to critique me after that. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said this. You shouldn't have said that. So I got critiqued, so I had this morning had to change it up a little bit. All right. But it's still basically the same message. And I want to talk about honor. How many of you know that honor is important? All right. It's important. How many of you know faith and honor go together? All right. Praise God. And who we honor, how we honor, is very important. And simply put, honor means to value something or place value on something or someone. Value. And again, I said faith and honor go hand in hand with, faith and honor, they go together. I'm sorry. So Judges chapter 6. Now in Judges chapter 6, I'm going to turn and read it out of my Bible. Because what we have going on here, Israel was always disobedient to God. And throughout the Old Testament, God told them to do one thing, they did absolutely the opposite. Sounds like some people we know. All right, so while you're turning to Judges, we'll pray. Father God, we praise you this morning. We thank you for your word. Father God, we just give you honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, we thank you that the word will fall on good soil, lives will be touched, and lives will be changed. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So Judges chapter 6. And that's Josh. That's not Judges. That's Joshua. There it is. I know how it goes. All right. So what we have here, in chapter 6, it's about the Midianites oppressing Israel, okay? And what they did was they didn't keep the commands of God. God told them to do one thing, they did the next thing. And so we have here in verse 12, Gideon comes on the scene. How many of you know who Gideon is? And God said, it says, the Lord appeared to him, meaning Gideon, and said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now let's understand something. Gideon didn't think he was a mighty man of valor because he was hiding in a cave. Because the Midianites were coming and destroying everything. Taking all their stock, taking all their fruit, just destroying everything on it. And the simple reason was, and you'll find out here why in a second, but he calls him a mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then is this happening to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, didn't the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So he is telling them, he's going, listen, what happened to the miracles? And my question to people last night was, where are the miracles? Okay, what happened to the miracles that we read about in the book of Acts and that we see in other countries, in third world countries? And last night I made an illustration, maybe I will today. But the next question is, where's the honor? You see, the Israelites, we know God is with us, but why are you letting this happen to us, God? Well, God's not letting it happen. They're not honoring God. God's saying, do it this way, and they're doing it another way. When you go against what God says, you're not honoring God, because honor puts people first place. And the first person we need to put first place is God. In the book of Malachi, he says this. He says, "And a son honors his father, and a servant his master." Now, this is God talking to them. If you understand anything about Malachi, it's a conversation between God and Israel, and God's asking them a question, but then God's answering the question back. Okay? You ever do that to your kids? All right. Where were you last night? Over Bob's house? And they'll go, huh? All right. So anyway, just saying. So anyway, verse 6 says, a son honors his father and a servant his master, for I am a father. Where is the honor due me? If I'm a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you, O priest, who show contempt to reduce down, to show disrespect or irreverence for my name. So God is coming on them because they're not respecting God. They're dissing God, okay? And they're showing disrespect. You know, respect and honor go together, all right? So they're not being reverent to God. And so often we do that, you know? I just saw a thing this morning that, you know, 68% of Americans today want to put Christ to be, Jesus to be number one at Christmas, not Santa Claus. Just this morning, you know, they did a poll, and what do people want to see around Christmas? Jesus. But what is basically the world doing? They're dissing Jesus, all right? They're not honoring Jesus. It's his birth we're celebrating, all right? So he goes on there. So honor is a value. Honor is worth. It's respect for things. And dishonor is simply to take things lightly. And so often we take things lightly. We put a lot of pomp and circumstance into Christmas. I like Christmas. I like seeing the kids' faces light up and everything. But Jesus is the reason for the season, not Santa Claus. Listen to me. Actually, I go one step further. We're the reason for the season, because we're the reason Jesus came into this earth so we could be saved. And so we could walk in fellowship with him. So really, we're the reason for the season. All right? Important. Proverbs, and we see it all around us. People don't honor people anymore. We see it in our country, in our government. Everywhere we look is just dishonor. Nobody cares. We don't honor our elders. You know, who's our elders? Our grandparents, our parents. We don't honor them. You know why? Because we don't prefer them, as the Bible says, above ourselves. We're more worried about me. And this is a me society. And that's not the way God lined it up. Okay? So Proverbs 29:2 says, and listen to this, talking about our government. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Isn't that great? When you have a godly government, when you have a government that at least is trying to do things in a Christian way or trying to do things right, it says the people rejoice. Actually, one version says the people flourish or the people prosper, okay? But when the wicked man rules, the people groan. Amen, just saying. And then we have this too, and this I like. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, it says, woe to those who call good evil, evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And we see that happening in the world today with all the political correctness. They're trying to do a flip-flop on us. All right? They're trying to take Christ out of Christmas. They're trying to take Santa Claus out of Christmas to boot. You know, I was watching, there's this Catholic priest that goes on Fox News, and he and his church, the city government wanted to give away toys to underprivileged kids, and they wanted to use their facility. So he said, naturally, you could do that. Well, about a week before that, they called up and they said, do you have a Christmas tree in your foyer? He said, yeah. They said, do you think you could remove it? He said, here's a news flash. You're not going to use my facility. Amen. Who call good evil, who call evil good, darkness for light, light for darkness. They want to reverse everything. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. So, the thing about it is when we remove honor, we reduce our ability to receive from God. And it's not just honoring God. See, that would be okay if we stopped there, but this goes a lot deeper. All right? We reduce our ability. When we take God and His Word lightly, we lose the pathway to miracles that God has set up for us. Amen? Listen, we'll go down one more. Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. Got a lot of scriptures, okay? But it said, Jesus left that part of the country and returned, and this is the, what version? New Living Translation. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did all this wisdom and the power to perform miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us. And they were deeply offended and refused to believe him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except his hometown, his own hometown, and among his relatives and his family. I love that. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And it goes, and he was amazed at their unbelief. He was amazed at their unbelief. I was doing a Bible study yesterday, and Friday, and we were talking about the book of James. And one of the things I brought out, because we were just doing an introduction, I said, you know, James is the brother of Jesus, the head of the church of Jerusalem. James was not a believer while Jesus walked on the earth. It wasn't until after the resurrection that James came on board. Now, I said that because we have relatives, we have children who don't believe in Jesus, and we get all upset. Listen, Jesus' own brother didn't believe him and saw him do the miracles, lived with him. I'm sure Mary and Joseph must have told him about, you know, well, Jesus is your half-brother. His father's God. Tilt. You know. You know what I mean? So, you know, we look around and we go, dear Lord, you know, why can't we get this person to believe? Jesus' family didn't believe him, and he was God. And it says Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. It shocked him. He was taken back at their unbelief. But it's familiarity. They were familiar with Jesus. And what familiarity is, if you don't understand how to honor someone, familiarity, will cause dishonor. And the interesting thing is the root of familiarity is family, which is often the place of greatest dishonor. I've seen it in my own family, not my immediate family, but my relatives and stuff. So honor, we need to honor people while they're alive. Hello? All right. Now, offenses cause dishonor, you know? You can never honor thing that offends you. So what are we supposed to do? Become unoffendable. Well, how do you become unoffendable? Because people get offended all the time, you know? Because when you have a servant's heart, and we're going to talk about that for a minute, when you have a servant's heart, you can't be offended. If you're easily offended, I'm going to tell you this today. You don't have a servant's heart. Now, I didn't say you can't get mad, all right, or upset about something. But listen, 34 years in June that we've been preaching the gospel. We're still here. Many times we could have been offended. Were we hurt? Yeah. Did I get mad? Yeah. Did I get offended? No. You want to know why? Because I have a servant's heart. Well, what's a servant's heart? Because I'm telling you, when you have that heart, you can't get offended. It's impossible to get offended when you have a servant's heart. All right? You know, last night my wife said something when we walked out the door. It was just like Elaine and Joe. And she said, I said, you know what? You just offended me. And I was just joking. She, whatever. But anyway. But so if you have that heart, you know, and again, like I said, I didn't say it wouldn't hurt when you get it, when somebody says something to you. But because the reason why, a servant is not their own. I am in servanthood to Jesus, to Christ. And when I am serving him, what you do does not offend me. Because what I do, I do it out of a servant's heart to people. Okay? And so don't offend me. It's not his own. I belong to somebody else. The word servant means to bind. I'm bound to Jesus. Man, if I'm bound to Jesus, you can't offend me. Hello? You can shout amen or on me. It's the truth anyhow. You know that, right? Okay, just so you know that. All right? And it means to bind. And we got the word slave from it, which was the lowest scale of servitude. When you were a slave, you were at the bottom of the barrel, okay? And it came to be known as one who gives themselves up to the will of another. Jesus said, not my will, your will be done. And consecrating yourself out to God. And when that happens, there's not too much that's going to offend you in life. All right? And it became the most common word for servant. And Paul, calling himself a bond servant several times in the Word of God, associates the fact that, number one, before he came to Jesus, he was a bond servant of Satan. And now he'd been bought by Christ, because we've been bought by Jesus. He's now a willing slave to the master. And so when you have that, how could you get offended? Hello? Did you hear people all the time, well, they offended me. Get a life. Get Jesus. All right. Now, you don't have to be a doormat, you know, because that came out like last night. You know, like, we're talking about having a servant's heart to people. But, you know, not that people take advantage of you. You should speak up for yourself, all right? And one way that we honor God, other than honoring God, we're talking about honoring God, but how do we really go through this process of honoring God? Well, by honoring each other. By respecting each other. Hello? All right, by preferring each other. Oh, that goes over big too, boy. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, the New Living Translation says, listen, you priests, this command is for you. Listen to me. Make up your minds to honor my name. Wow, I like that. Says the Lord of heaven's armies, or I will bring a terrible curse against you. I will cause even the blessings you receive. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you have not taken my warning to heart. You know, that's a pretty strong statement. And in areas that we're not honoring God, we're going to experience lack. Hello? If we're, you know, and people always get upset when you talk about their pocketbook, but that's okay. If we don't honor God in our giving, we're going to experience lack. It's not a cute little coy to get money out of people's pockets. It's the Word of God. All right? It's plain and simple. All right? Honor begins with God and His claim. We honor the things God says to honor. You see, honor doesn't begin with us and our assessment if it should be honored. That don't work, because you know why? You're a bond servant. You should have the heart of a servant. It doesn't matter about what you think about it. It begins what God says about it, what God thinks about it. What's His assessment of it? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says, submit, or be willing to, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Once He says that, you lost the battle. It's no longer a negotiation. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You can't argue with that. If you don't want to do it, that's okay. But don't blame the other person because it isn't based on the other person. Just like God's love isn't based on you. Him telling you to submit to another person isn't based on them. It's based on what God said. Amen. And so set your heart to honor people. Amen. Let it be a joy and a delight. Well, what if they don't deserve it? It isn't. Forget that. We could come up with every excuse under the sun. It doesn't matter. It's what the word says that matters. And when we honoring people benefits us too. You know, it says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. Amen. This morning, there was a fella, a Dr. Lehman was on Fox and Friends, and he wrote a book on getting your kid's mind without losing yours. And he was saying all this stuff about authoritative parenting, permissive parenting, and authoritative parenting. And I didn't read the book, but he did say something at the very end. And they were talking to him about authoritative, like, you know, authority is like, you looking at me like that? You think you're going to get a beating now? Wait till you get home. That's authoritative. Then you have permissive. Billy, you think you can flush the toilet? You know, I mean, if it's not too much trouble, could you put the toilet seat down? And then you have the authoritative, which kind of like, you're not reason with them, but on the other hand, listen, I'll give you, the guy gave this example. A little girl says, they live in a two-bedroom apartment in Manhattan. She wants a horse. And instead of saying, you know, we can't have a horse, we live in a two-bedroom apartment in New York. And the mother goes, wouldn't it be nice to have a horse? He said, you could get on it and go to school in the morning and wave at your kids on the school bus and all that. And the little girl goes, well, we can't have a horse. We live in a two-bedroom apartment. That's authoritative. And the thing about it is, the guy quoted this verse of Scripture. I said all that because he quoted that. He says, listen, the Bible says, honor your father and mother. Because there's a promise, you will live life. Amen. Not honor your mother and father, kid, before I knock the snot out of you. No. Honor your mother and father. Because you're going to have a good life on this earth. A long life. So the more you value honor, the more you'll benefit from it. Okay? And again, getting back to what I was saying, honor is decided. It's not deserved. Ooh. See, we pick and choose who we want to honor. But the Bible says this, submit yourself, 1 Peter chapter 2, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether the king as supreme authority or to governors who are sent by them to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good or by living an honorable life, you should silence ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the king. That's what God's called us to do. All right? Who do we honor? Well, the Bible says, Romans chapter 12 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. So who do we honor? Honor one another. 1 Peter says, show proper respect to everyone. And so God wants us to develop this heart where we honor because we get to, not because we have to. It's a privilege to honor people.
Yes, hallelujah.
Okay? And it says honor everyone. God wants us to treat people with dignity, with worth. He wants us to help people discover the treasure he's placed in them. You know, so we should never intentionally try to hurt a person's self-worth. If anything, we should try to build it up. Because a lot of people are where they are for whatever reason, but a lot of it is they have a really bad self-image of themselves. They don't have any self-worth. So they go out there to find self-worth, whether it be in drugs or alcohol or whatever, sleeping around, it doesn't matter. They try to develop some kind of self-worth in their life. Instead of us trying to build it into them, showing them, listen, this is what God says you could do. You don't need to depend on other people. Because I promise you, other people will let you down. All right? It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the ears. Grace speaking, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 7 calls it due benevolence. Grace thinking about people. Philippians chapter 2, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble in your thinking of others. Thinking of others as better than yourself. Wow. Listen, this isn't stuff I'm making up. This is in the Word of God, okay? So what you're being faced with today is a real big challenge. You're either going to do what the Word says or you're not. And I'll tell you, if you do what the Word says, you'll be happy. If you do what you want, you ain't going to be happy. All right? Don't look out only for your own interests. Oh, I love that. But take an interest in others. See, we want to do things for other people when it's convenient for us. I feel like that comedian, Black. Okay. Yells all the time. I don't know what his name is. But anyway, we do. Oh, we want to do everything. Oh, I can't. I can't now. Sorry. Check next week. Let me check my schedule. People need help. They need it now. Okay? A Harvard study asked 10,000 students this question. What they valued more, achievement, happiness, or caring for others? 80% valued achievement and happiness over caring for others. You want to know why this country's hurting? Because we drill into our kids, you got to achieve, success, and it comes at the cost of other people getting hurt in the process. You know, family chores, they you know what family chores do? They foster compassion in our kids when we do things together. When we ask them, you know, a simple task is taking out the garbage. You know, you say, how does that foster compassion? It does. Or teaching them to make their bed. Oh, boy, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. And no, we're not a Presbyterian church or Pentecostal, okay? Somebody's going to come and ask me that later on. But when you start talking like that, you know why? It gets quiet because, man, I'm hitting your cylinders. Not doing it on purpose. Well, and so he wants us to honor authority. Why? So we can benefit from it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 and 10, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have any of you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority. You know what people have to, you know what authority is? It's a sandwich. You got somebody on the top and you got somebody underneath. So, but just say the word, for I am myself a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one go and he goes, and that one come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said the following. Truly I tell you, I have not found such anyone in Israel with such great faith. And you have to understand something. Back in Malachi, Jesus is speaking, Dad's speaking to them, saying, Israel's not honoring me. Okay? And Jesus goes, I haven't found anybody in Israel with such great faith. You know? Then Jesus said to the centurions, go, let it be done as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. So, you know, there's a lot to say about authority. And it's like on every little, it's on every level. It starts in the home. You know? Because if we honor God, we're going to teach our kids how to honor people. And we're going to teach, they're going to learn to honor God. All right? And there are four areas of authority that God asks us to honor. First of all, governmental. We see that we're having a big problem with that one, huh? Especially if you watch football. Anyway, well, what if I don't agree? Newsflash. 4 years, you could change it. Problem is only 30% of the people vote. 30% of the people vote and 70% of the people complain. That's a fact. All right? We should vote. If you don't like who's there, vote them out. Well, what if more people like them? Then they're going to be in another 4 years, and you better pray. Just that simple. But the office they're in is what the honors. God said honor that office that they stand in. You might not agree with them. You might not like them. But you need to honor them. It says in Romans chapter 13, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And those in position of authority are placed there by God. Where's another? Workplace and school. Honor those who are in authority over you, at work and at school. You know, I shared this last night. When I went to school, you mind if I come down here, do you? When I went to school, and I would come home, and my father was about this big. And he smoked these little cigars, Denoblis. And he just had them in his mouth all the time. When I'd come home from school and walk in the house, if that thing was glowing red, things wasn't good. And so maybe I did something in school, maybe I didn't do something in school. But I did not get to negotiate the situation. I came home, and the first thing my father did was yell and scream and slap me. And I go, but. Then I got to tell him my side of the story. And he would call up to school, find out, and maybe I was right. But what he never did was dishonor the teacher. The teacher always got okay until proven wrong. Because he figured they were with me all day, not him. And if I happened to be accused wrongfully, that was okay with my father, because in his Sicilian thinking, it was, I did something somewhere that he didn't know about that was bad. So he was the authority. Okay? But we have to. And oftentimes we see things happen in school, and right away the parents are down there want to punch the teacher out. Why don't you find out the teacher's view? Honor the teacher. They're there with your kid all day. That probably is not so cute when they get. Something happens when they go to school. They go to school with these angel wings on. And the minute they walk through the door, they replace them with horns. See, because not every kid, you know, they're kids, man. They're kids. Get a grip on your life. They're kids. Your kid is not the only one that's the Messiah. It's, you know, people get, I had, years ago, there was a lady that came to church here, thought, and thank God for Pastor Eddie. She, you know, it was like her daughter was like Not, she wasn't, no, wait, it wasn't a bad kid. Don't misunderstand me. But kids will be kids. And the mother and father went away. And they decided to have a party at her house. $5 to get in. How many kids were there? My son Eddie, Mr. Preacher, was going to the party. But Eddie had a little authority figure in his life that when he pulled up and he seen what was going on, he said, I ain't going. So he called up, who'd you call, the police or the mother? And he called up her mother, then he called the police. They destroyed this woman's house. The kid didn't start out to do that. But once word got out, poof, and the mother never thought the kid would do that. So you know what? They're your kids, you love them, you're going to forgive them. My point is, what are we talking about? Honor. Don't jump on the teacher right away. There is a chance it could be your child. That's all. Not saying your child's bad. No. Not Joey. Yeah, but see, look at him. He's changed, man. The word of God changed the kid. Praise God. Anyway, then it says, whatever you do, do it with all your heart as working to the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord you're serving. And I do this too, and I said this last night. It's funny how easy it is to honor families at funerals. I'd say I've been saved. I've been doing funerals for almost 35 years, 34 years. And it's absolutely amazing because I know some of the families that I've done funerals for, and somebody always gets up there and gives this flowery long, oh boy, they win. And I'm thinking, dude, where were they when the person was alive? Honor them now. Amen. Here's a newsflash. None of us are perfect. But we serve a God who walks in forgiveness. You know? But when we're alive, we focus on the little things that annoy us about them. Then all of a sudden, they're not here anymore, and we go, you're very good. And then spiritually, we need to honor God, honor our leaders. Amen. Amen. It says, honor those who are in leaders in the Lord's work. They work among you and give you spiritual guidance. Then it says, Psalm 29 says, ascribe to the Lord glory, do his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. So, and real quick, and then it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your riches. That's honor. When we give an offering, when we give a tithe, we're honoring God. All right? Then how do we honor? Well, again, honor means to give worth to something. All right? To dishonor is to take it away. Romans says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. So, whatever you honor, first of all, you prioritize. What you honor, you put first place in your life. You honor lets others go first. Honor stands up on the bus and lets the lady sit down. It's preferring other people, that's honor. Because when you do that, you are honoring God. Honoring is like when you two people are coming down the aisle and there's one parking spot and you see it's a little old lady or a little old man, you go ahead. Amen. You don't go, I was here first. I saw it from the fourth row over there. You're so old you can't see. You just got lucky. You know, that's honor. You know, this might seem stupid, I know, because we live in the 21st century, but opening the door for a woman, That's honor. Amen. Now we wait for the woman to open the door for us. Yo. I am here. Didn't you see me coming? But we do that. Honor, you know, and we just say that. Praise. You know, honor's a language. Praise people. All right? Our words will either honor or dishonor someone. All right? See, there's no neutral words. You know, there's no, like, in the middle word. It's you're either going to honor or disrespect somebody with your words. Your words will either build up or tear down. And James says, James chapter 3, I like this, in James in Ephesians. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. So what's that mean? Let me give you an illustration. You're in church praising God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You go out that driveway, and you try to pull out, and somebody comes speeding, and all of a sudden it isn't praise the Lord. Yeah, it's Jesus, all right. You're telling them about Jesus. Anyway, you understand. But we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. And out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. And he goes on, that should not be. And then Ephesians says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Honor protects. So everything you deem valuable, you protect. Sadly, we live in a culture that would rather expose everything. You know, Proverbs says that love covers a multitude of sins, not expose everybody's dirty laundry. And human beings love to expose other. That's why you got the National Enquirer and all those other goofball magazines that you stare at when you want to know about Prince Harry. Could care about Prince Harry. If he ran naked through the hotel, I don't care what he did. But we want to take a look. Wow, who was he running with? I don't care about Prince Harry. But those papers expose that. And 99.9% of the stuff is not true. All right. And so the more you value something, the more value you get from it. Okay? We are vessels of honor. We're to honor people. But in a great house, 2 Timothy, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he is a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. So, honor puts you in a position to be used by God. Amen. And last one I want to talk about, and then we'll be dismissed, all right, is humility. Humility, and I'm going to read four verses of Scripture, okay? It says in Proverbs 15, all from the NIV, verse 33, the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Remember that. Humility comes before honor. Proverbs 18:12. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. Remember that, okay? Proverbs chapter 22. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Humility. Proverbs 29 says, a man's pride brings him low, but a lowly spirit gains honor. The key to honor is humility. See, humility is not when we compare ourselves to someone else. That's not humility. Humility begins when we recognize ourselves in relationship to God. We recognize our need for a Savior. Okay, we form a modest opinion of ourselves. A lot of times you'll hear me say from up here, some people are just a legend in their own mind, and that's about as far as it goes. They're a legend in their own mind, but we should form a modest opinion of ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, then he may that he may exalt you or honor you in due time." And as I close this out, and the music brings, you can come up here. We are in the Christmas season, okay? The birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And I can't help but think about God and Jesus and the honor and value that he put on us. God was honoring us when he sent Jesus to this earth. God valued us when he sent Jesus to the earth. Okay? And so much that he humbled himself to bring us back into a relationship with him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 7 to 7 says, you must have the same, this is talking about us now, but I want you to think about it in the, we're going to be having service here, we're going to be buying gifts, we're going, you know, it's all about Jesus and how Jesus, the second member of the Godhead, humbled himself because he valued and honored us. And God loved us so much that he gave up his place of honor to become a servant here on this earth. See, that's what Christmas is about. It's about honoring people. It's about putting people ahead of yourself. Not worrying about what I'm getting for Christmas. But what about the person out there don't have nothing's getting? Amen. You know, we were blessed with the food pantry, with very large offering for the food pantry. About $1,750 from two people that don't even go to church here. To help people. To help their families. The person that comes to church here, his family did it, but they don't come to church here. But they are in law enforcement and stuff like that, and they just wanted us to be able to bless people. And it's so interesting, I got a letter yesterday, and I'm going to finish this, from a person, and it was about some hard times that they're going through. And they happen to be a friend of mine, and I know them very well. And I received this pastor, and I know when I looked at it and I saw who wrote it, I said to myself, this had to be the hardest thing this lady had to do. When I received the letter and I read it, I said, this had to be, because I know her very well, I said, this had to be the hardest thing on the planet for her to do, was to write this letter. And not knowing they lost their house, they lost their church, all this kind of stuff. He had six strokes. And I just, you know, my heart went out to them. And I'm thinking, how many other people out there are like that? Then you get a blessing where someone just sends in $1,750 to be able to help people and feed people. And I think about Jesus. Says, you must have the same attitude that Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think it equality with God as something to cling to. He didn't think. Jesus wasn't hanging on to that equality portion of his life with God. He knew it was more important. And it says, instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took on a humble position as a slave and was born as a human being. Well, why did he do that? He did it for us. And he did such a great job that it goes on to say, therefore, God elevated him to the highest place of honor and gave him a name above every other name. That's the God we serve. You know, and you know what's funny? My Bible says that we should imitate Christ. Who didn't think it didn't think that it was his equality with God was something that I can't ever give that up. Well, he gave it up, and he got it back 100-fold. He got us. Think about it as we celebrate Christmas this year. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we praise you this morning. I thank you for everyone that's in this place, Lord. I spoke my heart this morning. And Father God, everyone in this place, if there is someone that doesn't know Jesus, he left his spot, gave up his divine privilege, and humbled himself, came here as a servant to die on a cross so that you might be honorable and honored. And he did it because he honored you even when you weren't honorable. And if you're here and you've never received Christ, you've never said, you know what, I am going to sit down and I am going to make a confession that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my Lord. I want him to live in my heart. And if that's you and you want to make that bold confession about Jesus, I want you to slip up your hand before I turn the service back over to Pastor Eddie. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I always like to say during this, look up here, I like to say during this time of year, keep Christ in Christmas. Keep the humility and honor people. Be humble. Be humble because God will exalt you the same way he exalted Jesus. Can you say amen?